So thrilled to have such a packed room today. That shows me that people are really interested in this topic as much as we are. So we're thrilled to have all of you here today. My name is Abigail Tumpey. I'm Associate Director of Communication Science for CDC's Division of Healthcare Quality Promotion. Our division includes the Immunization Safety Office, and so we handle vaccine safety related topics. I'm thrilled to have my counterparts here today from across the U.S. government to talk to you on the topic of challenges and strategies on communicating around vaccine safety issues. So, brief introduction. First is Stephanie Marshall. Stephanie is Director of Communications for the National Vaccine Program Office at Department of Health and Human Services. Stephanie has recently just taken this role and really has done just a tremendous job for improving how we communicate on vaccine-related issues across the department as a whole. And so we're so thrilled to have her here today to kind of talk about what we've done thus far and kind of where we're going. Next up is Lori McNeil. Lori is Director of Communications Outreach and Development for the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research at the Food and Drug Administration. Lori's going to talk to us a little bit about the communication challenges and strategies around licensure issues and what information we can articulate during the licensure and post-licensure process. She's also going to talk briefly about myths and misconceptions on ingredients, which I know we get numerous questions on. Next up is Tanya Johnson. Tanya is a health communications specialist with CDC's Division of Healthcare Quality Promotion. Tanya is going to tell the story of the post-licensure process, that time in the stage when ACIP starts making recommendations for vaccines to be, for example, new vaccines or for vaccines to be given to new populations. And so how we can communicate on the safety of vaccines in those situations. She's going to take three vaccines and give examples of communication strategies we've used around three different recent cases. And finally, Pamela Bryant, also from CDC's Division of Healthcare Quality Promotion. Pamela works with the Immunization Safety Office and does education and communications around the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. So she's going to talk a little bit about, again, communications and challenges and strategies for when we start getting adverse event reports coming in, how we articulate that to the public and the media, and still being able to articulate the safety. And so from start to finish, hopefully we're going to kind of tell you the whole picture of communications that we're doing across the department. I do have to say that none of the presenters have anything to disclose. And we're going to hold questions to the end. We should have about 15 or so minutes that we're holding at the end for a discussion. We really would like to take this as an opportunity for free-flowing discussion. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Stephanie Marshall.
Gosh, thanks, Abigail, for that nice introduction. I do a call every Friday morning, and these four ladies are always part of that call, so it's nice for us to be together in person. Before I get started, I'd like to see a show of hands. Who in the audience was responsible for communications for their organization? So they're a communications director. Okay, so not too many, a smaller group. Who talks about the value of vaccines and addresses safety questions with either patients, consumers, or colleagues? All right, that's a lot of people. Who's a little uncertain when you talk about vaccine safety with people? You know, uncertain of the facts, information, you know, don't always feel quite as confident as you'd like when you talk about vaccine safety. Okay. Well, as Secretary Sebelius and Dr. Schuchat said this morning, vaccine safety was a big issue during the H1N1 campaign and was really the cause for some people to hesitate to have the vaccines. And as Secretary Sebelius outlined, there will be an effort to look towards minority outreach and outreach to healthcare providers in the coming flu season. So this is a very timely topic. And what we hope today is to really leave you with more information about the vaccine safety system to help you more effectively and confidently talk about vaccine safety communications. So we're going to talk a little bit of a broad brush of vaccine safety communications, strategies, tactics, and some overarching messages, provide an overview of the federal vaccine safety monitoring system and the roles and responsibilities of various HHS agencies and other federal departments, and identify the resources that are available to you to help you as you go out and talk about these important issues. But before I get started, I do want to talk about sort of the complexity around vaccine decision making. There are many forces at play, and communications can play an important role in addressing some of these forces, but it's not the answer to all of them. So I think as communicators and those who did raise your hand, you know, there's a lot you can do, but there are other forces at play. So for example, the perception and severity of disease. We saw that in H1N1. Access to information. Consumers have a lot of questions, and they're getting information from the internet and from peers and others. Their relationship with their healthcare provider. We do know from survey research that if a healthcare provider recommends a vaccine, people are more likely to take it. Insurance coverage can be an issue for some. And then alternate health beliefs. And I've put that down because certainly there's a movement towards taking supplements or using organic foods to really supplement the use of vaccines. So I think when we think about vaccine decision making, the role of communications, there are many forces at play. So I think just as a backdrop, it's important to think about this. But there are challenges when we talk about vaccine safety. There's certainly growing concerns and scrutiny. People have lots of questions, and their questions can range from how many shots and why so many at one time for a young baby, what's in the vaccine, what about mercury? Is the mercury still in vaccines? What are the other ingredients? Are vaccines green? Are they environmentally friendly? So people have lots of questions. They want those questions answered. There's recommendations. Certainly in H1N1, the recommendation for young children and pregnant women raised concerns about safety. People were unsure of that. And a history of complex messaging. In the past, I don't think we've always done a very good job about talking about vaccine safety. Sometimes we are a little dismissive, and that history is still with us, that we have to overcome that. I think Rear Admiral Schuchat did such a wonderful job during H1N1 in really addressing the concerns, but there's a lot of history that we still need to overcome. So with respect to guiding principles for vaccine safety communications, the department really tries to adhere to these four basic principles. And these are principles you can apply to your own work. It's very important to be transparent, to be timely, to be accurate in your response, to talk regularly about issues concerning vaccine safety, and to coordinate activities. As Abigail mentioned, at HHS, we work very closely to coordinate our activities, our messaging, so it's consistent and the time frames are the same. You can do the same at the state level and within your organizations, and I encourage you to keep that sort of principle in mind as you move forward. Key audiences. As communicators, we always know who's your audience, segment your audience, who are you talking to, and what are their needs. I've highlighted the general public here, but broke them down. I think women are a key audience for our discussions around vaccine safety. Women tend to be the healthcare decision makers in their family. Certainly concerns about childhood vaccines, so women and moms are key. Teens are becoming more empowered in their own healthcare. So how, and I think that's sort of an issue to look forward to in the future, how can we better talk to teens and young people about vaccine safety, but also, more importantly, the value of vaccines? Healthcare providers, as I've said before, are such an important process in the decision-making, policymakers, and the media, both as an audience as a channel for healthcare communications. So there are really some overarching strategies you can use in your communications work. When we started the H1N1 campaign, we made a conscious decision that whenever we talked about the vaccination program, we would weave in vaccine safety messages. We felt it was not really sort of prudent to hold separate press conferences just about vaccine safety, but rather that every time we talk about the program, talk about the value of vaccines, we recognize the concerns and questions people might have and talk about safety. So sort of leveraging all of the outreach and media relations activities to talk about the value of vaccines and the safety systems that are in place to ensure their safety. Important to rapidly respond to concerns. Certainly last fall during H1N1, about the safety of the vaccine. People wonder, gee, has this been tested? Do we know it's safe for pregnant women? Sort of addressing those concerns up front, address them before the questions are asked. Providing your partners, again, sort of coordinating your activities, making sure that your partners have the information they need so they can also effectively communicate and reinforce your work. And then just providing regular updates, you know, keeping people informed is very important. So these overarching strategies can be a really foundation for the work you do on very specific topics or issues. And messages. There are six messages, and I'm not going to read these because our slides are available, but these are messages that we developed and tested around H1N1, and they're core safety messages that you can use and then just modify for the specific topic you're talking about. So talking about the value of vaccines and how the value outweighs the risks, acknowledging that some people do experience minor side effects. You know, people, particularly moms, I think sometimes we've been a little dismissive when a mom says later, you know, the child had a fever, was a little lethargic, that's a real concern for mom. And that's, you know, we need to respect those concerns. So really acknowledging that there are some minor side effects, but major side effects are very rare. And when there are serious side effects, they're investigated. And my colleagues are going to talk more about that. And they're held to the highest standards safely. They're approved by the FDA, and Lori will talk about, and that there's really this vast network of federal government agencies and other partners that monitor the safety of vaccines. So these messages, and you can pull them from the slides online. So just very briefly, I want to step back and tell you a little bit about the federal vaccine monitoring system. There are three federal agencies that have key roles in vaccine safety, HHS being the lead agency, but also the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs. And as government entities, we have lots of acronyms. So I've listed here the acronyms from six major vaccine safety monitoring systems. And Abigail mentioned VAERS, and I think Lori will probably talk a little bit about VSD, Lori's shaking her head. CDC will. So there are major systems in place. There are also a number of public-private partnerships around vaccine safety monitoring. The DOD and VA have closed healthcare systems, so they do a lot of work around vaccine safety monitoring. My office, the National Vaccine Program Office at HHS, coordinates vaccine policy across the department and as well as vaccine safety. And 2 years ago, an immunization safety task force was created. It's led by HHS, but includes representatives from all the HHS agencies, as well as DOD and VA, to make sure that all of our work at sort of the monitoring level is well coordinated. And I'm just going to have two slides on some of the individual HHS agencies and the roles that they play. You're going to hear from FDA and CDC, which we'll talk in more detail about their monitoring systems. But NIH, HRSA, CMS, and ARC also play key roles in vaccine safety monitoring. So at the department, many agencies at many levels contribute to vaccine safety monitoring. But there are many partners also in this process at the state and local level. At the global level with the World Health Organization, manufacturers also play a role in vaccine safety, academic researchers, philanthropic organizations, and I think probably all of you are here today because you represent probably one of these types of organizations. And then I just want to conclude my comments and then turn the program over to Lori.